are listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito here from Island Community Church, and thanks for joining us here today. This radio program, WGOD, is brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. We warmly greet you in the name of Jesus. We invite you to one of our services this weekend, Sunday morning at 10:30. My sermon is entitled, How's Your Diet? Last week, we looked at how's your soil. We see that the Lord Jesus is the sower, and he sows the same seed in everyone. But there's four different responses to that. Now this week, how's your diet? We read in Hebrews chapter 5 that those who are unskilled in the word of righteousness, that they partake only of milk and not solid food. Solid food is for the mature, he said. Those who by reasons of use have their senses exercised, Greek word gymnos, have their senses exercised to discern good from evil. How are you doing with that? Do you recognize heresy and the lie when you hear it? That's where we're going to be at here this weekend. We'd love to see you Sunday morning, 10:30. Here today, the doctrine of Christ. 2 John verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. So that's where we're at today. This will wrap up Monday and Tuesday. It's almost a 60-minute message, but it's the most important sermon you'll ever hear. What do you believe about Jesus? And the consequences of having the wrong understanding. Whoever does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. So the question is, as we head into this message here on this Friday, what then is the doctrine of Christ?
You know, anytime we only have two songs, you're in for it. So I apologize to God, because worship is so important. And I hate to make worship pay the brunt and pay the price for a long sermon, because that's probably wrong in its own right. So, okay, the doctrine of Christ. It's that time of year, once again, when I get to preach my all-time favorite sermon, the most important sermon a pastor could ever preach, and that is the doctrine or teaching of Christ. I want to show you today how important this is and how important what you believe about Jesus is, and we need to start that with some prayer, if you would pray with me this morning. Lord God Almighty, Lord, we ask for your blessings now on the preaching and proclamation of your word. Help me, the preacher, to totally understand it and hear what you're trying to impart into me here to share with this family. Bless this church family. Bless those that are watching. Minister to all of us. We listen for your voice in the pages of your word here. Lead us and guide us. Teach us, instruct us, equip us, and send us out into your mission field here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. I said again, I want to show you how important this is and how important what you believe about Jesus is and the consequences for not believing. The doctrines of Christ. Now you've seven blanks on your handout here. It's kind of like a statement of faith, at least it ought to be the statement of faith that you find at a church. You'll find it at our church. I should know. I wrote it. And it's on the website as well. islandcommunitychurch.net. Read the statement of faith. Good Lord, what do you believe about Jesus? Is there anything more important than that? What do you believe about the Son of God? Now, people today don't like that word doctrine. Big theological words like doctrine, they sound too churchy, they say. Which is why many translations change the word, which is didaskalos, from doctrine to teaching or instruction. Now, if you would please, turn with me to chapter 1165. I got this cool Bible. It's got every chapter listed in the Bible. So, all right, 2 John, toward the very, very back of your Bible. It's only one chapter, 2 John. It's on the handout as well, if you don't have a Bible with you. Verse 9. I would ask you guys, too, to please keep me in your prayers. I'm still dealing with this vertigo, sometimes more serious than others. So, generally, it's all right in the daytime. 2 John, it's only one chapter, verse 9. Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Wow, look what's written here. Whoever transgresses and doesn't abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Wow, what does that mean? Am I unwittingly guilty of this? Now, here it is again from an easier to understand version of the Bible. Anyone who disregards this teaching has no relationship with God. Don't even kid yourself what you believe isn't important. You bet it is, especially when it comes to Jesus. This Greek word here for transgress means to disregard. Same as this new translation reads correctly. Everyone who disregards this teaching about Christ, not so much something that he taught, but it's a teaching about him. Anyone who disregards these seven things I'm going to give you that are laid out about him, the Bible says, you don't have a relationship with God. Actually, men say that. Even worse yet, the Bible says you don't have God. Not a place you want to be here this morning. Because you went to a bad church and you have a faulty understanding of who the Son of God is. How could you? You might have a one-sided relationship with God, but if you believe that his Son was a sinner, then really you don't have anything. Don't even bother singing these songs. If you think that Jesus was a sinner, you have a one-sided relationship with God. You. And you're actually two-sided. You and your mirror. But that's it. If you don't believe he died and rose again from the dead, then not only do you not have a relationship with God, but you are not a Christian if you don't believe that. Because we're about to see, believing in the resurrection is part of the faith and it's required of you. You must believe this. You must believe that after you die, you are going to live on, either in heaven or in hell. You must believe this. Now, with that knowledge, the next logical question would be, well, what then is the doctrine of Christ, right? And I'm glad you asked that question. Let's take a look at the question and the answer as well. Now, I've organized this sermon. It's into 7 points. And again, look how important these are. Look at all the consequences that hangs upon the pastor to ensure he accurately teaches the doctrine of Christ. Because look at the end result if you don't believe. You don't have God. If you don't believe him, you don't have God. Or you don't have a relationship with God. Which is why I preach this every year. Let's show of hands. How many people in this church have never heard me preach this sermon? Raise your hand. Excellent. That's what I want to see. This is why we do it every year, because there's no more important thing. Everything starts with your foundation on who He is. May God continue to add to this church daily so that me or him have to get up and preach this every year. That means we're healthy, right? New people are coming in. We're going to start with an understanding of who Jesus is. There's no more important thing than that. All right, here we go. Number one. Now I'm going to give you all seven, and I'm going to give you where to find it in the Bible. Please write these down. There will be a quiz someday. Number one. Now, a lot of you guys know, and I'm glad that you do. I'm a stickler for being a professional Christian. I'm glad you know these. I mean, football players, all they do is practice the playbook, right? Day in and day out. And then God calls an audible. And whoop, whoop, whoop. Do you know the audible? When God sends in another play, do you know where to go? Do you, let me call my pastor. Or coach, I forgot my playbook. That one won't work. That'll get you fired. Know the playbook. Know the word of God. So many of you are going to remember lots of these, and praise God for that. I'm glad that you do. Number one, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Maybe you say these are, who wouldn't believe these? Believe me. You will find people in your life, a lot of them will knock on your door on a Saturday morning, and they don't hold to these things. And the Bible's warning you that the people that don't hold to these things, they're not really Christians, and you got to be careful, you see, because these people will infect you. They've got a virus. They're infected with the Bible calls the spirit of Antichrist. I call it the spirit of Frankenstein. Oh, ooh. Might as well be. If you want to see what it looks like, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. Where's that in the Bible? How could that be? Matthew chapter 1. Now, that takes me back to what I should have read before we got started. Deny the supernatural, end up in hellfire. Okay? Deny, if you deny the supernatural element of this book, deny the supernatural, end up in hellfire. You will never cross the finish line. You will never get started. Right? Because you can't get past number one, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Where's that in the Bible? Matthew 1:21. She will bring forth a son, capital S. You will call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. So all this was done so that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Believe it or not, some denominations in Christianity don't believe in the virgin birth. Believe it or not, some Bible translations have changed this. Which one? The Revised Standard Version of 1952. They took out the word virgin and they put in the word young woman. Behold, a young woman's going to give birth. Any young women here give birth? I could think what conservatively maybe a trillion have. All right, half a trillion. There's only one virgin that's ever given birth, and that is Mary. And that is a miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit of the living God. There's been one virgin birth. Why is it so important? Why is it non-negotiable? Because if Christ was not born of a virgin, if the nature of Christ is not supernatural, but just everyday, ordinary, then Christ was born with a sin nature just like you. And if you believe that, I got some bad news for you this morning. And that is, a sinner cannot save you from your sins. This is non-negotiable. Even King David said in Psalm 51:5, in sin my mother conceived me. Not so with Jesus. Jesus was born from above. He didn't have a sin nature. Yet he had real red blood in his veins. That's why he's the Son of Man and the Son of God. If you don't believe in this doctrine, then you don't believe in the doctrine of Christ, and according to the Bible, you don't have God. And I'll declare to you that you, sir or madam, are not a Christian. You can't throw out the ones here that you don't like. And again, let me say it again. For those of you that know all seven of these and have memorized them, great job, I'm proud of you. I've done my job here. And when they knock on your door on Saturday mornings, you'll be loaded for bear and ready to give an answer. Question, though, let me ask. You might know the seven, but do you know where to go in the Bible to defend the truth on all seven of these? Great, then take a seat. Grab a pen and write down the references. And next year, you can tell God that you know it all next year. Not. That's for the naysayers that say, he's preaching this again. All right, come on up here and read all seven of these without your notes. Any takers? Number two is Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. Scripture verse, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Second reference is 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for he made him, listen, let me read this slow, listen to this verse. For he made him who knew no sin. Talk about innocent bystander here. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Wow, of all the things that you can make breakfast, you can make time, you can make payroll, you can make atonement, you can make amends, you can make good, but Jesus was made sin. How ugly is that? How ugly is that? I think of someone forming a snowball. For those of you that have ever been anywhere where there's snow. If you were someone you really didn't like, you'd put an acorn in there. Sorry, Darren. You write N-A here next to this. Never seen snow in his life. To be made sin. Unfathomable. To me. He made him who knew nothing about sin to be sin. And look why he did it. So that we, that would be you, might become the righteousness of God. That means God turned him into sin so that he could take this gavel, slam it down, and look at you and say, not guilty. You are mine. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I have got nothing against you anymore. And his son is over here, a pile of sin. Isaiah 52 says he has no form or comeliness that we should look at him. Right? They couldn't even tell who he was when they got done plucking out his beard. and whooping them. And yet that's not even nothing compared to what God did to him. He made him to be sin. Because God loves you so much that he wanted to have a relationship with you again. Makes you just want to walk out of here and shout, doesn't it? That he would do that to his son because he loves me that much. Non-negotiable, right? Jesus knew no sin. He never sinned. If he had sinned, then his sacrifice was worthless and his blood just as tainted as yours or mine. Again, a sinner can't atone for your sins. You have got to believe this. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life and he never sinned. A sinner can't atone for your sins. Only a God with blood can. Does that make sense? You got to be both. You got to be God because you got to be perfect, and you got to have blood because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Blood is required for a human sin. And there's only one ever that's been able to be both of those. Perfect and have blood. That's what's required. And imagine these fools on TV telling you that there's another way. Number three, God took a body. God took a body. Perhaps my favorite on this list. God took a body. Meaning this, the man, Christ Jesus, who lived 2,000 years ago, was God. He was God. He was not just a man. He was, Bible says, he was found in appearance as a man. But he was God, existing in the form of God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That, by the way, to prove that, was Philippians 2:8. For God took a body. Or this one, John 1:14. The Word was made. Here we go again with being made something. Flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld. It's where the word theater, theatre. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. All right, so there's two proofs on this. That Jesus was God when he was here on planet Earth. God took a body. Here's another proof. This is, I think it's 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, colon. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and whoop, we looked at it last Wednesday night. Received up into glory. Praise God. God took a body. Why is this so important that I don't have a relationship with God if I don't believe this? Well, the Gnostics in the first century didn't believe that God took on human flesh. Listen to what the Bible says about God taking a body. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits as to whether or not they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses, all right, now he's talking the spirit inside a person. He's not talking Casper here, the friendly ghost. Friendliest ghost we know. And the spirit inside of a man, you can't touch someone, you can't see. It's the spirit inside a person. I can find out what's inside Tim by asking him, and I can find out. You can find out for any potential pastor if I drop dead by asking him these questions. You can find out. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit inside a man that confesses that Jesus Christ, or the Messiah, has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that the Messiah has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. Wow, look at that. Every spirit, every person that does not believe that God took a body, the Bible says, is infected with the spirit of Antichrist. That's bad news. Do you see now how perilous this position is for the millions of Jews that believe this way, or for people that reject the Messiah? You need to know what you believe about Jesus because it's important, as you see. Believe the wrong thing about Jesus, and before you know it, you're walking around here with the spirit of Frankenstein on the inside of you, just for a seemingly thin, big whoop. I don't believe God took a body. Look at the consequences for that. See, the Bible's saying there's a reason why you don't believe it. And the reason is you've been infected. You've been infected. If your eyes were open, you can see that spirit all over this country today, the spirit of Antichrist. It's everywhere. Everywhere you look. The Bible says the Antichrist won't have the desire for women. Do I need to spell that out for you, what that means? Those that side like that are, I'm going to say it right here. They're infected with the spirit. I pray your eyes would be open to see that. Choose God and choose God's side. Okay. Back to point number three, God took a body. Why did God take a body? Hebrews 5 and 8. Though he was the Son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who believe him. That comes through taking a body. Had to live and he had to die and he had to shed his blood. Why did God take a body? 2 Corinthians 5:19. That is, God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Now there is a pile of good news. God was the one in Jesus, and he was here reconciling all of us, like the old days when you used to reconcile a checkbook. God was in Christ reconciling you back to him.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.